You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. This is our latest look at the Washington Nationals. And I'm joined by Jamal Collier. Jamal, it's been a long camp, buddy. I hope you held up well in the World Baseball Classic Extended Camp. We are at the finish line now. Opening day is just around the corner. What is left to be decided in Nats camp?
Yeah, it's weird. It has been a long camp, and it's kind of weird that we're at the end here now with like a less than a week until opening day. And the Nats still don't have a closer. Imagine that. You know, it's kind of been the biggest story for months now. It seems the entire offseason, everybody's wondering who the Nats closer going to be, and we still don't have that answer. I think we have a little bit of clarity that they're going to go definitely with somebody in-house, it seems. And the way it looks like right now, they're leaning toward Coda Glover, the rookie who kind of skyrocketed through their system last year, made it onto the majors, had a lot of success, and then kind of over the last month of the season, you know, didn't perform too well, really. And you know, he had a torn labrum in his hip, you know, and I kind of think that they think contributed to just his kind of results last year. But he's been impressive all spring. He's a guy who throws in the high 90s, has a wipeout slider. He's got all this, the stuff, the arsenal, the makeup that they like in closers. They've said from the beginning, they touted this guy's going to be a future closer. It's apparent that the future might be a little sooner than later. It's not necessarily official or a foregone conclusion at this point. You know, there's still kind of some internal debates between maybe Sean Kelly or Blake Treinen. But, you know, if I had to bet right now as of Tuesday, the recording of this podcast, I think I would say that they're leaning very heavily towards Coda Glover.
Yeah, he's had a good camp. 8 of 10 appearances have been scoreless in the Grapefruit League. So, and sometimes a young kid doesn't know any better. He just gets thrust out there and does his thing. It is a fascinating dynamic, though, because you're right. I mean, a lot of weapons back there. None of them, proven as far as the ninth inning commodity goes. They signed Joe Blanton, Sean Kelly, Blake Treinen, and then you got a manager who's leans more towards the old school and wants that established closer. So it'll be fascinating to see how that all plays out, especially earlier in the year. What was the highlight of this spring training camp from the Nats' perspective?
Well, you know, I think they have to just be there's probably a couple different things. They're probably pretty proud of the way they've come out of this camp. The first of obviously being them just being healthy is always a big thing. It's a big thing for everybody is that you don't want to have a major injury. But, I mean, they've got to just be thrilled with the way Bryce Harper has looked here over the past couple of weeks. I mean, spring training numbers are what they are, but, you know, the guy's got 8 homers and about, 56 at bats, something like that. He's slugging 800. He's 400 some on base percentage. He just looks like the guy that we saw 2 years ago and in the beginning of April of last year that is just going to punish every single mistake that you make and is going to draw his walks. And he looks stronger. He looks healthier. I mean, he appears just to, like you said, to look like one of the best players in baseball. You know, whether he can carry that over to the regular season kind of remains to be seen. But, you know, there's been so many positive signs and so many things to be encouraged by for Bryce Harper to have a bounce back year this year and kind of return to that upper echelon of players. So I think that's got to be the biggest thing. Probably right behind that is Max Scherzer and just the way his finger situation kind of all played out. I mean, this is a guy who hadn't thrown a baseball really when he reported to camp on February 13th or 14th. For him to have start throwing at the beginning start of camp and be throwing, basically couldn't throw without any pain, couldn't throw a fastball, and to be there and looked like a DL stint was probably a near certainty for him to not even miss a turn through the rotation. He's slotted in right now to probably start the third game of the season. That's got to be something too that they've got to be thrilled about. So just the health of him and Steven Strasburg have come through camp pretty clean, and just the way Bryce Harper has looked, I think all those things they've got to be feeling great about here. And it's something that maybe at the start of camp, those things were all a little bit uncertain, but going into the season, they've got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Nats seem to be the favorite in the NL East. Obviously, there's some Mets love out there, but Nationals defending champs. Who do you see as kind of the X factor on this club as far as, could take them to greater heights, but as maybe maybe a bit of an unknown going into the year?
I think the reason that this team can get to their greater heights is because of the guys who are known, and that being, as we just talked about, the Harper, Strasburg, Scherzer, Trey Turners. If anybody, you know, can kind of come under the radar, I think it is going to be Kota Glover, kind of going circling back to him. I mean, if he ends up being the guy in the ninth inning, and if it's the ninth inning, he's going to probably play some kind of major role for them late in ball games. If he is as good as a reliever as they believe he is, and as good as he was through the minors, and even in that first chunk of the season, then they kind of, you know, not to say lucked out, but you know, are pretty fortunate not to have spent the money necessarily on a Kenley Jansen or a Mark Melancon or somebody in the offseason, because they're going to have a really good young controllable arm here for the next couple of years that, is going to be a major bullpen piece. So I think that they, he could be the biggest factor for them, especially if they decide to go ahead and trust him with the role right away and right off the jump here at the start of the season. I think he's one of the biggest ones. Offensively, I would probably point to a guy like Adam Eaton, who obviously isn't unknown, but a guy who they gave up a lot for and is gonna make a huge impact as far as to just exactly what they can do this season if he does hit towards the top of the order. You know, he's a guy who him and Trey Turner can cause a lot of havoc on the base paths. And we talk about what Bryce Harper's been doing, but if you have him and Daniel Murphy and Anthony Rendon kind of behind those guys, I think they have a chance to score a lot of runs. That's the biggest thing with the Nats here. I think that there's a lot of talk about their bullpen and their closer, but, I mean, this could be a team who offensively is just going to be able to be up 5 or 6-2 every single day. And I think that they might be able to quell a little bit of concerns about that bullpen because they're going to be able to be so good on offense.
It's also a team that is unmistakably all in for 2017. Yeah. And you wrote a bit about that, just kind of, thinking ahead to what the picture might look like midseason. And we already saw the Adam Eaton trade and what an aggressive move that was. So I think that speaks to the Nats are going to pull out all the stops this year. If they have a deficiency, it seems like they're not going to be shy about dipping into their prospect pool to shore it up.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally they've been probably one of the most hesitant teams to kind of dip into those prospects. But I think once you make a trade like you did with Giolito and Lopez and Dunning, all being, for Adam Eaton, I think there's no reason to go halfway. And, I would probably I would be surprised probably if they give up Robles unless there's something substantial made on the market that they just don't have. Outside of that, the rest of their system, which is still a pretty good and pretty strong system here, I think that they've all got a chance to be moved and all got a chance that if that's the right piece or they feel like they're one piece away, from really separating from the Mets or really getting to the same level as the Cubs, the Dodgers, or whatever it might be. Obviously the window we talk about with Bryce Harper being here for two more seasons, but, it's not only just Bryce Harper, it's, Daniel Murphy's here for two more years. You've got Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg both kind of at the height of their powers right now, and Dusty Baker's not going to be around forever. So I think just, it's a team that is not going to just necessarily mortgage all of their future, but it's a team who is going to do what it takes right now to win because they've got a ticking clock with the guys that they have now and the way they're playing.
Yeah, definitely a win-now situation. And with that in mind, we're going to pivot now to Jamal's recent interview with Dusty Baker here in the final days of spring training camp. Jamal had a chance to catch up with the veteran skipper. Here is that conversation, and we'll talk to you next week.
Spring training obviously winded down the last, 8 or 9 days here. How are you feeling just about the ball club? You guys obviously made some changes to it as you kind of going along this spring.
Well, I feel good about things. Certainly wish we'd won more, but I wanted to end spring at least 500, which we had a few more games to do that. And, what I feel good about is that we're healthy. And if you're healthy, that it gives you a great opportunity and a great chance. Our guys have outstanding attitudes. The guys worked hard in the winter, they worked hard in the spring. And, I feel good about things. And we just have to we're still in the process of putting the puzzle together. We've got some tough decisions to make. But, these are decisions that a good club usually, has a hard time making decisions. If you got an easy time making decisions, most of the time, you don't have a very good club. So, it's big that we try to keep the right people. Also, the right people in our organization, if they don't make the club, in order to call on them at some point in time during the year. And which is indicative of last year, we used almost everybody on a 40-man roster in order to win it. So, we just want to build on last year. And I feel very comfortable at this point.
this team obviously has had their run of division titles, and last year you guys won the NL East. Expectations about going into this year, I mean, where do you guys feel?
Well,
like
expectations are the same. First, you got to get to the dance. Doesn't matter. I mean, you want to win the division, but doesn't matter if you get to the dance, so to speak, as a wild card or any kind of card. You want to get to the playoffs. And this team hasn't gotten to the playoffs in consecutive years in the last few. So right now, we want to concentrate, number one, on winning the division. Number two, getting to the playoffs. Our division is going to be tough. The Mets appear healthy. Atlanta appears to be much better. Philly appears to be better. The Marlins are better, especially with Giancarlo Stanton and D. Gordon healthy. They improved on their pitching staff, so we feel that this is going to be it's going to be a nail biter the whole way. But I mean, we feel that us being the incumbent, that we're the ones on seat.
You talked about that a little bit. The fact they haven't, you guys haven't went back to back, and you weren't here obviously for the first two times they've been in letdown. But is that something that you have to address with these guys, or just something you go out and do your?
No, that's something that I did address.
Okay.
It's not. I don't know if it's a letdown, but sometime, 2 years ago, it was a matter of injuries, and a matter of the Mets having a great year and going to the World Series. So, everybody starts off. In the same spirit, everybody thinks that they have a chance to win. It's especially tough early until any kind of spirits are broken. On the opposition, it's up to you to kind of break that spirit and for us to realize that it's a long season. You want to start off well, but that doesn't mean that you're going to end up well. So in a perfect world, we'd like to start off great and end up greater. So that's our goal. Just the guys that have outstanding years. Some guys had great years last year. Some guys had down years. So we're just trying to prepare them so that everybody can have an outstanding year.
You guys, pitching-wise, starting pitching, it felt like got you through a lot of last year, whether it been some of those down years you talked about. Do you think that necessarily going to lean on your pitching staff a lot more this year? You think it's going to be that you may have some balance?
Not anymore. But not any less either. Your pitching starts with the pitching. The better your starting pitching is, the less pressure it puts on your offense, the less pressure it puts on your bullpen. You don't have a tendency to overuse them, but you got to score runs to win at the same time. You have to have a number of games. You got to have some relative speed game. You got to have a low scoring game. You got to have a comeback game. You got to have a blowout game. There's many games that you have to have, but at certain points in time of the year, you depend on one more than the other. I mean, early usually is the pitching time of the year because it's cool in the East. You depend more on your bullpen early because pitchers aren't really ready to go more than six or seven innings, and especially in the day of. Of not many complete games, your bullpen becomes even more and more prevalent and important. So I like think in terms of, you depend on your pitching and bullpen, and a lot of that has to do with the defense that we exhibit out there. But you can't give away runs, and then as the weather gets hot, then you tend to put more pressure on your offense, and then a little later in the year, you put pressure. I hope that your total game is working. And then down the stretch, you try to get reinforcements in here to help alleviate some of the pressure from some of your everyday players and your pitchers. And like I said, in a perfect world, that's how I'd map it out. But you got to map it out, to some degree before the season starts.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.